How many of you have ever heard of the word gigo? Maybe a new word to most of us in this room, but what that word stands for, all of us are familiar with. It means garbage in, garbage out. It was a word that was coined back during the early days of the computer revolution, and computer scientists realized that if they put in the right data into the computer, guess what happened? The right answer would come out. But if they put in the wrong data, then the wrong answer would come out. And so they coined that term gigo, garbage in, garbage out. Kind of sounds like the story of our life, doesn't it? If you and I put in the right things into our lives, guess what's going to come out? The right things. If we put in the wrong things, then there's a good chance the wrong things are going to come out. This morning, we are going to look at the importance of having the mind of Christ and what it takes to have that kind of a mind. Did you know that every single one of us in this room, for the most part, we will have about 10,000 thoughts every single day? That translates to about 3.5 million thoughts per year. So far today, most of us in this room have had about 2,000 thoughts. Kind of hard to wrap your mind around that, isn't it? But just kind of think about some of the thoughts that you've had this morning. Should I get out of bed? Should I hit the snooze button once, twice, 10 times? Should I go to growth groups today? Should I show up for church today? Should I wear deodorant today? Should I brush my teeth today? Is there a need for me to take a shower today? You know, just some of the thoughts you don't even think about, you actually had. Every single day, we have about 10,000 of those things. Tomorrow, we will wake up with a fresh, new 10,000 thoughts before us. Many of those thoughts that we have tomorrow will be based on what we are exposed to today. Think about that. If you and I fill our minds and our hearts and our lives with R-rated images, R-rated words, R-rated things, there's a good chance that tomorrow will produce out of us an R-rated reaction. If you and I spend our day today wallowing in self-pity or anger or bitterness, guess what? Tomorrow, there's a good chance that there will be more of that. Am I right? However, if we make a deposit today of God's word into our minds and into our hearts, then there is a good chance that today's deposit will produce God-honoring thoughts tomorrow. Pretty simple, makes perfect sense, but oftentimes, what do? We make more of a deposit in our daily lives of things that are not God-honoring as opposed to things that are God-honoring. This past week, I guess you would say on December the 31st, we completed our 23-month reading plan as a church. If you went through that, then you read through the New Testament twice and you read through the Old Testament once. Why did we do that? Why did we put that challenge out 23 months ago? Because we believe it's important as a body of believers to daily grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as we are instructed to do throughout God's Word and as Peter instructs us to do in 2 Peter 3:18. You know, many of you did that reading plan or you've done your own reading plan. This year, many of you made resolutions, didn't you? How many of you committed to a diet this year? You don't have to raise your hand. You can just kind of think that. Just add that to one of your 10,000 of the day. Some of you committed to a workout plan. Some of you committed to personal growth goals. Maybe that's work goals or school goals or professional goals. Each of those are great goals. Those goals will help you develop physically, help you develop mentally, and those are important things. But how many of you this year made a spiritual goal? How many of you made a goal this year that you're going to read your Bible more? That you're going to memorize Scripture this year? That you're going to pray more? That you're going to read more books that are going to help develop you spiritually? You know, the Bible says in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. As believers, we must be transformed every single day and seek to become more and more like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Proverbs 23:7, the first part of that scripture says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. What we think, we become. Garbage in, garbage out. 2 Corinthians 10:5, Paul wrote these words, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. You and I are to take every thought captive and give it over to the Lord Jesus Christ. We must make our thoughts submit in obedience to Christ. They must be brought under his control. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. What does it look like to take our thoughts and to make them captive for the Lord Jesus Christ? What does it look like for our minds and our hearts to be transformed into the very image of Jesus Christ? In Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9, this is going to be our focal passage this morning. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me there. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9. What we're going to look at here are some characteristics that will help us as we take every thought captive for Christ. What it takes for that to happen. So in Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 8, we read these words. Paul said, or he wrote, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. The first thing that we are called to here, first thing that we need is we need a Christ-like mind. How do we have a Christ-like mind? Well, Paul calls us to do what? He calls us to use our noggins, right? To use our mind. He calls us to think about a number of qualities that should be present within the Christian life. These thoughts should inspire worship. They should inspire us to grow in our relationship with Christ. It should inspire worship to God in service to others. The first thing that we are called to is a life of truthfulness. Paul wrote, whatever is true. He says, whatever is true, think about these things. Every thought that enters our mind should go through the truth test, right? We should process what comes into our mind, and we should equally process what goes out of our mouths. Ask yourself, is this true? Is what I'm hearing true? What is what I'm speaking true? All of us in this room are familiar with the term fake news. Okay, fake news isn't something that's just come around over the past couple years. Fake news has been around since the beginning of time. You reach all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, and you can see the architect of all things fake, Satan. When Satan tempted Eve, what did Satan say to Eve? He asked her this question, did God really say that? Did God really say that? What has Satan been trying to do since the beginning of time? He's the father of lies. He's been trying to get you and I to buy into lies. He's been trying to tell us that, hey, you can eat whatever you want. You can drink whatever you want. You can say whatever you want. You can go wherever you want. You can believe whatever you want. You can believe multiple things. You can believe there's multiple ways to get to heaven. You can do this. You can do that. And there are no consequences. That's what Satan's been trying to do. He's been trying to get us to buy into a lie since the beginning of time. He tempted Eve, and what happened there? She gave in. And as a result, the world has spiraled out of control since then. And you and I have been caught up in the curse of sin. And you and I daily have to make a choice. We can respond in a truthful way, or we can respond in a non-truthful way. How do we respond in a truthful way? Well, we process what goes in, and we also process what comes out. In Proverbs 12:22, we read these words, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are His delight." God is truth, and He wants you and I to respond at all times in a truthful way. Paul also calls us to think about that which is honorable, that which is noble, that which is right and holy. Do you think about honorable things throughout your day? Do you think about that which is noble? Or do you kind of live your life like Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh? No, Eeyore, what does Eeyore do? Man, he's kind of that, woe is me. He goes through life with his head down, kicking the rocks all throughout the day, and he believes at any moment the sky might fall down. Now, you and I can get caught up in that self-pity trap if we're not careful, can't we? But what are we called to do here? We are called to think about that which is honorable. Think about those things that are Christ-like and Christ-transforming as opposed to those things that are going to get us down and hold us down and hold us captive. Proverbs 8:6, we read, "Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right." From our lips will become noble, God-honoring things. Next, Paul calls us to think about that which is just. It's many of your translations probably say, what is right? Think about that which is right. As with truth, what is right and just is always defined by God. We must ask ourselves, not is this right in my eyes, but is this right in God's eyes? I think the number one problem with our society today is we are looking at things not through a biblical worldview, but we are looking through things through an earthly worldview. The earth is going to tell us, or the people of this world are going to tell us, that all things are acceptable. What does God's word say? We are to think about that which is right, defined by God, not redefined by man. Next, Paul calls us to a life of purity. He says, think about that which is pure. Paul is calling us to think about that which is pure, holy, and dignified. Is your thought life pure? Ask yourself that. Are most of my thoughts pure thoughts or impure thoughts? You know, I believe that one of the most important things that every single one of us in this room needs is an accountability partner. We need, if you're a man, you need a man in your life. If you're a woman, you need a woman in your life that is going to hold you accountable. That's going to hold you accountable and make sure that you're spending time with God daily. Make sure that you are not viewing things that you shouldn't view or doing things that you shouldn't do. I've got an accountability partner in my life. We meet almost weekly. And we meet together weekly for encouragement. We meet together weekly for fellowship. But we also meet together weekly for accountability, where we read God's word. We read different books together, and this year we're going to hold each other accountable in the area of scripture memory. Why? Because we believe with all of our heart, as God's word says, iron sharpens iron. One brother sharpens another brother. One sister sharpens another brother. It's biblical and it's needed. When it comes to us living pure lives, I believe it's important for us to have people in our lives that are holding us accountable to make sure that we're not viewing things or doing things that we shouldn't do. How many of you are familiar with the Promise Keepers? Y'all remember the organization Promise Keepers? It was a men's ministry. I think it's still around, but it's not around on the scale that it once was. But Promise Keepers, they challenged men to get into accountability groups. And there were seven questions that they challenged one another with. And these are those seven questions. And these can go for both men or women here. But it's this: have I been with a woman in the past week in a way that could appear compromising? Have all of my financial dealings been filled with integrity? Have I viewed any sexually explicit material? That could be things on the internet, magazines, movies. Have I spent adequate time in Bible study and prayer? Have I spent quality time with and given priority to my family? Have I fulfilled the mandates of my calling? And then the last one is kind of the kicker here. It is this: have I just lied to you? You know, because that it's easy to say, hey, yeah, I've done these things. But when you're held accountable with question number seven, have you just lied to me about any of these things? Well, you can lie once, but it's hard to lie about lying to somebody. If you and I really desire to live pure and holy lives, then we need people in our lives that can hold us accountable. We as the body of Christ, we sharpen one another when we get in proximity of each other and allow God's word to guide our conversations. The next whatever that we're called to here is, Paul says, think about that which is lovely. I like that word, lovely. Kind of reminds me of a British term or something. In a world full of hate, you and I are to be people that call forth love. Is your thought life loving? Is it lovely? One writer wrote, here is a simple rule. If it's not lovely, if it doesn't make you lovely, don't say it, don't think it, don't do it, don't dwell on it, and don't repeat it. That's a good rule of thumb right there. Next, Paul calls us to think about that which is commendable. The call here is to think about that which is good and right, that which is pleasing and acceptable. When you and I think good thoughts instead of negative thoughts, there's probably a good chance that we will respond in a loving way as opposed to an unloving way. You and I must avoid getting caught up in unwholesome talk. I know that that's easier said than done, because every single day you are bombarded with anything, with much unwholesome talk, right? I mean, at your school, at your work, in your neighborhoods, at the grocery store, on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, all of these avenues produce probably more unwholesome things than wholesome things. We're called in Ephesians 4:29, we read, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of our mouth. That's what we're called to. So speak that which is pure, truthful, and commendable. And in conclusion, within this verse, Paul calls us. He says, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, he is calling us to ask ourselves regarding our thought life, is it morally excellent? Is this morally excellent? Is it something that God will approve of? What would happen if you and I began to ask ourselves those two questions? What would happen if we began to ask ourselves, is it morally excellent? is this something that God will approve of? You know, I think there would be a lot of things that would change in our lives. I think our minds would begin to be more transformed into the image of Christ. Our hearts will be transformed into the image of Christ if we allowed all of our thought process to go through this filter test. Notice next. Notice the Christ-like command. In verse 8, the latter part of that, once again, Paul is calling us to think about these things. This is not a one and done thing that we do, but it is something that we are constantly to do. Just like it takes discipline to train your body, or it takes discipline to train your mental mind, it also takes discipline to train your life spiritually. Imagine what would happen this year if you and I made a commitment that we were going to give equal time to something else in our life, or to Christ as we do something else in our life. Imagine what it would look like if we gave equal time to working out. Imagine if we gave God equal time to watching TV, or equal time to amount of time that it takes us to study for school, or working on business proposals, or reading leisurely, or surfing the internet. Imagine, I mean, most of you in this room probably are probably spend a little bit of time on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, right? You kind of surf through those news feeds and you want to know what everybody else is doing in their life. Most of you, if you're like me, you don't care if anybody knows what's going on in your life, but you do care what's going on in their lives. Imagine what would happen if you gave equal time to growing in your relationship with the Lord as you spent on social media. Just equal time in that one area would probably turn you into a much stronger man, woman, student, or child at the end of this year. Am I right? What is that one thing this year that you could give equal attention to? Begin thinking about that. Next, Paul calls us to a Christ-like action. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, Paul says, practice these things. Now, Paul will be the first one to tell you that he was not perfect. In fact, Paul himself called himself in 1 Timothy 1:15 the foremost of all sinners. Paul never forgot what he had been saved from. He knew that he was a wretched sinner that had done despicable things. He knew that he had been saved, what he had been saved from, and he knew that his past did not define him. What defined him was who he had become. C.S. Lewis wrote these words: "You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending." There's some good truth in that, isn't there? You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you're at and you can change your ending. Every single one of us in this room, we can change our ending. Our past is the past, but what is before us is brand new. Every single day, it's a brand new day. We get a brand new opportunity to respond in positive ways, a brand new opportunity to glorify God every single day. So for Paul to challenge us and say, practice these things, you and I can do that without hesitation. God's word is not for perfect people, nor was it written by perfect people. But God's word can make every one of us in this room more perfect, can't it? Jesus himself said in Matthew 5:48, in the Sermon on the Mount, he uttered these words. He said, "You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." You and I are called to pursue perfection. And how do we do that? We do that by allowing God's word and the Holy Spirit to transform us more and more every day into the image of Christ. Paul calls us to put into practice that which is true, that which is honorable, that which is just, that which is pure, that which is lovely, that which is commendable, that which is excellent, and that which is praiseworthy. That is what Paul calls us to do. And when we do that, notice the reward that happens. In verse 9, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Jesus promised in John 14, 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." What is Christ's reward? It's freedom, isn't it? Christ's reward is peacefulness. It is freedom from anxiousness. It is freedom from anger. It is freedom from bitterness and lying and impurities and worry. It's freedom from all of those things. That's the reward that Christ is given to us. How do we change our mind? How do we allow our mind to be transformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, we do that by evaluating what we put into it, right? You know, the reason that we're a corrupt people is because we bought into the lie of Satan. The reason we remain corrupt people is we continue to fill our minds and our hearts and our lives with the things of this world instead of the things of God. So how do we develop the mind of Christ? We remember the acronym from GIGO, garbage in, garbage out. Ask yourself on a daily basis if the music you listen to produces garbage, if the movies you watch produce garbage, if the things you view on the internet, if it produces garbage, if the books you read produce garbage, if the friends you hang out with produce more garbage in you than they do truthfulness in you. Do they build you up or do they tear you down? The stories you listen to around the water cooler, do they build you up or do they tear you down? The conversations that you participate in, do they build you up or do they tear you down? The people you date, do they build you up or do they tear you down? Is it a Christ-honoring relationship or not? God's Word, once again, instructs us to take every thought captive to obey Christ. Solomon reminds us, "For as we thinketh in our hearts, so are we. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." You know, Pritchard shared these truths about the mind, about ways that we can be transformed more into the image of Christ. He said this in the first part, "If you think you can't, you probably won't." How many of you have that defeatist attitude sometimes? Man, I can't do it anyway, so why should I even try? If you think you can't, you probably won't. If you think angry thoughts, angry words are sure to follow. If you fill your mind with sexual fantasies, your body will find a way to fulfill those desires. If you dwell on your problems, they will soon overwhelm you. If you feel like a victim, soon you will become one. If you give way to worry, don't be surprised when you get ulcers. If you think low thoughts, low living is soon to follow. If you expect defeat, you're probably going to lose. If you dwell on rejection, you will set yourself up for even more rejection. If you focus on how others misunderstand you, you will soon become angry and bitter. What goes in must come out. Sooner or later, your thoughts will translate into reality. I think we've all been there before, haven't we? We've all been to that place in our lives where we have allowed depression to get us so low that man, it's almost impossible to climb up from. If you believe it about yourself, then there's a good chance that you're going to be that kind of a person. If you and I fill our minds with godly things, we're probably going to be godly people. If we fill our things with worldly people, we're probably going to be more worldly people. on the flip side of these things, if you focus on the truth, you will speak the truth. If you look on noble things, nobility will mark your life. If you seek out lovely things, your life will be lovely to others. If you dwell on that which is right, that which is wrong will have no attraction to you. If you think on pure things, you will become pure. If you look for righteousness, you will find it. And let us live this year, in 2019, as men and women and students and children that seek to be conformed more and more on a daily basis into the image of Christ. Let's think about that which is true and respond in truthful ways. Let's think about that which is honorable and respond appropriately. Let's think about those things that we have walked through this morning. Let's think about what is right and respond in a right way. Let's think about pure things instead of impure things. Let's be loving as Christ loved and as we've been instructed to do. Let's love one another. Let's think in an excellent way, in a praiseworthy way, in a commendable way. And when we do that, we will be more transformed into the image of Christ than we've ever been before. James 1:22, James instructs us, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. You know, we can hear, every single week, we can stand up here and we can preach the truth. Every single day, you can read the truth. But until you put the truth into action, then you're not fulfilling your God-intended purpose. We are called to be doers of the word. Let's be doers of the word. Let's seek to be men, women, students, and children that actively pursue Christ, actively seek to become more and more like Him. You know, we're 6 days into this new year. We got many more days before us, many more days of transformation before us. Let's seek to become more and more like Christ every single day. You know, this morning, you may be here this morning, and as you think back on 2018, you're like, man, I just want that to stay there. Well, I promise you it's going to stay there because 2018 is gone and 2019 is before us. But as you reflect upon who Christ wants you to be, let me just challenge you to let God's word transform you. Let His word transform your mind and transform your heart. Once again, you may not have started on the first, and that's okay, but you can start today to allowing God's word to transform you. You know, you may be here this morning, and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And as you think about your own life, you're like, man, how can God's word transform me when the Holy Spirit hasn't transformed me yet? How can I become more like Christ when I've yet to enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ? I want to invite you this morning to make the greatest decision that you could ever make, and that is to repent of your sins and cry out to Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. And the Bible says that if you do that, you will be saved. And when you are saved, you know what God's word promises you? You'll become a new person. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that if you are in Christ, you're a new creation. The old is gone, the new is come. All aspects of your old is gone, and you've got a new life before you. You've got a clean slate before you, and that's what Jesus Christ does in our lives. So if you're here this morning, you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I want to invite you to place your faith and trust in Him. You may be here this morning, you've been visiting this church for a while, and the Lord is leading you to make Friendship Baptist Church your church home. We'd love for you to do that this morning. I don't know what decision you need to make, but let's stand together. I'm going to lead us in a time of prayer, and when I say amen, if there's a decision you need to make, you come. You come. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this morning. Father, thank you for every man, woman, student, and child that's in this room. Father, thank you for the promise of your word. Father, the promise that your word will transform us into your very image. Father, I know that it's one thing to hear those words, and it's another thing to allow those words to take root in our life and for us to do those things. We all know that we need to be truthful people, but until we practice truthfulness, we're going to remain untruthful people. So help us, as we have been instructed to do this morning, to put into practice your word, to be doers of your word. Father, I pray this morning that if there is someone in this room that has yet to enter into a relationship with you, that today they will make a decision that they're going to repent of their sins and cry out to you to be their Lord and Savior. Father, help them make the greatest decision that they could ever make today. Lead them and draw them unto yourself. Father, I don't know what decisions need to be made this morning, but I know that you do. Father, during this time of invitation, just move within each one of our hearts and speak to us. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, with every head bowed and every eye closed, let's just spend a moment praying. And as you pray, if the Lord leads you, if there's a decision you need to make, you come. You come.